Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem when someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" What does this question mean? To be saved. Saved from what? Until very recently, anyone who lived in the South would probably be asked this question quite simply and directly. "Friend, have you been saved?" I was asked it many times when I was a boy growing up in North Carolina. As the village atheist in high school, I delighted in mocking the question. Saved from what? But only an arrogant adolescent who has never experienced suffering and pain and death could even wonder what it means to be saved. Anyone who has ever experienced real pain or profound suffering or the death of someone you love yearns for salvation. No one has to teach us to want to be happy or to want to live forever. These things come out of our nature. And death is our last and worst enemy. The unending nothingness of everlasting death. That's what we must be saved from. "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" As usual, Jesus answers the question in an unexpected way. The question is being asked, almost certainly, by an observant and religious man, a Jew. Someone who expected the Messiah to gather the tribes into the city of David, Jerusalem. To many, however, who were awaiting the Messiah and expecting the gathering of the tribes, thought that this meant only the 12 tribes of Israel. "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" is the backhanded way of asking, is there hope for anyone who isn't a Jew? But anyone familiar with the ending of the book of the prophet Isaiah already knew the answer to that question. We heard from the prophet today, the Lord saying that he would bring brothers and sisters from all the nations on horses and in chariots and carts, upon mules and dromedaries, by every possible means, from every corner of the earth, he will bring them to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Meaning the plan of salvation begins with the children of Abraham. But it is meant to be passed through them to every man, woman, and child. In the conclusion of this morning's gospel, Jesus says, people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, meaning the four points of the compass, the entire earth, the whole human race. And they will recline at table in the kingdom of God. They will come to the banquet of the wedding feast in the heavenly Jerusalem. The point is, it is the mission of the Messiah to gather the tribes into the holy city, Jerusalem, but not just the children of Israel. Every man, woman, and child who will ever live without a single exception. God desires that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. The question is, how? The answer is, with difficulty. We hear in the letter to the Hebrews about the difficulty of following the ordinary way of salvation. "My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him for whom the Lord loves. He disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Without discipline, there is no discipleship. and we all naturally shrink from discipline. But that's only one part of the answer. Lord, will only a few people be saved? Jesus acknowledges that according to human wisdom, the path to salvation is narrow. Strive to enter through the narrow gates. It requires effort and struggle. But if God desires that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, we're still left wondering, by what means do they come to knowledge of the saving truth that will lead them to recline at table in the heavenly city? The gospel acclamation this morning is taken from John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. This means that Jesus of Nazareth is the only Savior of the entire human race, not just of the Jews, not just of Christians, but of every man, woman, and child. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why would this be necessary? If God desires that all men be saved, why would it be necessary that all come to the Father only through Jesus? The answer to that question is found in understanding in its fullness what we mean by salvation. One reason Catholics can't answer that question, friend, have you been saved, on the terms in which it is asked, is that it implies that salvation is a discrete event like passing the bar exam. When in fact, with St. Paul, we say we are working out our salvation in fear and trembling, because it's not a discrete event. It's a process that unfolds over a lifetime, including three discrete moments: justification, sanctification, and glorification. And this is the ordinary way of coming to the Father through the Son, by hearing the gospel proclaimed and receiving it with saving faith, to be made righteous, just, put in a right relationship with the living God by grace through faith, the moment of justification, which continues through the long years of our life as we are sanctified, made holy by the indwelling of the Spirit and by our cooperation with that Spirit to turn away from sin, reject whatever is contrary to the gospel, and live the life of the new creation. And these moments of justification and sanctification will be crowned with glorification. That is, when all the blessed come to share the very inner life of God Himself. Once we grasp that salvation does not mean being admitted to the party, but becoming a member of the family, in which the divine persons of the Trinity share their divine glory with other persons who are not divine, us, thereby changing us from glory into glory, because we are not children by grace or nature, but children by adoption. Now we understand more fully what it means to be saved, to participate in God's own life. And this is why Jesus is and can be the only Savior of the whole human race. He is the only one who is both God and man. Through his human nature, which we share in common, we have access to the divine nature, which is his alone among the children of men. But if Jesus is the only way to the Father, the question then is, how many ways are there to Jesus? And here the apostolic tradition answers as many ways as there have to be. The ordinary way I've already described. Accept the truth of the gospel. Surrender our lives in the obedience of faith to Christ and his church, to live the life of the new creation by receiving the sacraments regularly and worthily and following the Lord in the way of the cross. That's the ordinary way. The extraordinary ways, well, they're as numerous as they need to be. The church insists that there is no salvation under heaven given to men by anyone other than Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God and Son of Mary. But that does not mean that a human person must know and accept this truth in the course of his earthly life in order to be invited to recline at table in the heavenly city. Anyone who seeks to know the truth and do the good and love the beautiful, anyone who obeys his conscience, even if he know it not, is approaching the Christ. Even after 2,000 years of fulfilling the Great Commission, less than 1/5 of the human race believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. This does not mean that the other 4/5 are damned simply because they have not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ. The Great Commission lays the burden on us, not on them, to bear witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Those who, because they've never heard the gospel, or who are prevented from hearing it by invincible ignorance, or who belong to an ancient and noble civilization that regards Christianity as an aberration, are nonetheless possessors of what our tradition calls seeds of the word. Ideas, customs, rituals in their own cultures, which dispose them to an openness, eventually, in God's time, to receiving the saving truth that only the Son of Mary is the way to the Father. Lord, will only a few people be saved? He never answers the question directly. He points to the answer through struggle. Through the necessity of letting go of preconceptions, through upending the expectations even of religious people, even as he understands that he himself is not merely the messenger of the Word of God, he is the Word proclaimed. We who know that now have received a special burden. The weight is placed more heavily upon us. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? And now, having been made the children of God by the grace of adoption, we are sent as missionaries, every one of us without exception, so that all the rest may at least hear and have the opportunity to know what salvation is and where it is found. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me.